today. If you'll take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to pray. While I'm praying, lock your seatbelt in because we're going to take off quick and fly high and fast and hard. Amen. To Brother Frank, thank you for being with us today. And Narita, Mr. Neff, thank you. A fellow Buckeye. Amen. He grew up just down the road from where I did. And he was from Cambridge area, and I grew up in Canton. And what's that? Bob, you got to consider the source. But I sure appreciate these men being with us. And by the way, men like that in D.C. is what we need. And just so you know, there's getting to be more and more of them. It's just we're needing to get more and more vocal, and I'm about to get there. Amen. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 16. I'm going to read two verses. I'll pray, and I promise I'll only preach about 20, 25 minutes, and we'll be done here. But this, verse number 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I need you today. Lord, as Jesus is there in heaven representing me on my behalf to you, would you allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to represent him here on his behalf? Would you help us to hear the word of God as you have it for us, not as man would want us to hear, but as you want us to hear. Not as our flesh or our soul wants us to hear, but as the Spirit of God wants us to hear today. Would you please put my flesh aside, and would you speak through me today, please? In Jesus' name, amen. 20 years ago yesterday, America was attacked by evil. They struck New York City. They struck Washington, D.C., and one of the planes went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. No one will ever forget the horror we saw that day. The death, the destruction, and the horror. We made statements like, we'll never forget. We'll always remember. Well, just so you know, Grace Baptist Church, we remember. Amen. America, we remember. We'll also not forget the heroism of those who went in to help that day. Men like that. Men like this man down here. Men like those from the Baker Heights Fire Department that had the truck out front for us this morning. I'm not necessarily saying all those men went in there and did that, but it was men like that. You have to understand something. Firefighters are a little different breed. Matter of fact, the nozzles on the truck out there, I helped work for the company that made those, Task Force Tips Innovations, while I was in Bible college. I know Stuart McMillan personally. He's been here. I one day asked Stuart, I said, Stuart, you firefighters are just a little different. He said, no, we're a lot different. He's 6'8", and about 360 pounds. He's a big man. Hi, Stuart. I said, what's different about you guys? He said, Craig, that's real easy. He said, we roll up on a fire. He said, everybody's running out, and we run in. I said, that explains it pretty well. But these were men that were willing to put their lives on the line. Police officers, military people, firefighters, ambulatory people, EMTs, etc. Who will ever forget all the American flags? Every overpass had a flag. Every car had flags on it. Construction equipment sitting along the road with flags flying high. Who will ever forget the patriotism that was stirred in America? Ballparks at every ball game, football, basketball, you name it. They not only sang the national anthem, we sang God Bless America. We didn't have athletes who would get on their knees and protest it. We sang, God bless America, and we were really Americans. I'm about to get angry. Hang on. Patriotism boomed, and all America was just that, America. We didn't look at the color of somebody's skin. We didn't look at whether they were a man or a woman. We knew we were all one thing, and that was this, an American. Amen. We had been attacked, and it was time to fight. Now, I don't like fighting, but my daddy taught me something. He said, son, I don't want you ever start a fight. If you do, you come home, I'm going to whoop you. But if a fight starts and you run away from it, I'm going to whoop you too. Got it, Pop. He said, if we get jumped on, it's time to jump back. Well, America got jumped on, and it was time for us to jump back. We need to tell our current president that and not run away. 20 years ago, when we bled red, white, and blue. We all wanted justice for the nearly 3,000 lives that were killed innocently that day. Please pardon me. But in 20 short years, what's happened to America? The heroic police who put their lives on the line every day now are targets of attack. And they're construed as the bad guys. Churches, Christians who opened up their arms and their doors to help were now the targets of attack. Whether it be in the media or people coming in to shoot, people trying to protest churches. We gladly and proudly sang, God bless America and the Star Spangled Banner. Now, if you mention God, you're the bad guy. Well, count me as one of the bad guys. What has happened in America in just 20 short years? God says here in Acts chapter 2 that the young men would prophesy. They would see visions. You have to understand that that word prophesy means they're looking forward. They're looking ahead to what's out there. But I also want you to notice something. The young men looked ahead to see what may be or what could be. But the Bible says that the old men looked back and dream dreams. It reminds me of a verse in Ezra chapter 3, verse number 12. You need not turn there. The Bible says, but of many of the priests and the Levites and the chief fathers, which were ancient men, that's men 55 and older. I'm not there yet, but we're getting really close. The ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. Many shouted for joy, but the old men wept. You have to understand that was after the rebuilding, at the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian destruction 70 years before. And the Bible says that the young men rejoiced, but the old men looked back and they wept. Why? They knew the original would never be matched by whatever was built new. America, Grace Baptist Church, Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, and this kind of tri-state area here. Us older people, 20 years later, look back and weep at what America used to be and what we're not today. Amen. I don't know about you. I still love America. I still believe in America. And I'll go down fighting every tooth and nail all the way. As Billy Sunday used to say, I'm going to fight sin till I can't swing no longer. I'll bite sin till I have no more teeth. And then I'm just going to gum it to death. I believe in going down that hard. Trust me. But may I tell you something? Terrorists destroyed 3,000 lives that fateful day in some buildings. But this new generation has given us an America that is anything but what America used to be. Let me give you a few thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, we need to get back to the original intent of the Constitution. Amen. And the Declaration of Independence. Amen. Do not separate those two documents. Amen. They are not two separate documents. They work hand in hand. We declared independence from a nation and a government that was tyrannical. Sound familiar? On us. And then we've established a constitution by which to maintain our independence. You can't separate them. They are not independent from one another. They work together in harmony. Amen. We don't need history in light of the revisionist historically. I'm not the most intellectual person you'll meet. I understand that. But I've got a pretty good grip on life and the Word of God and history. Those of us weeping in America today remember the old America. American education in 1961 began teaching the revisionist philosophies. In public education in the early 1960s that was started by FDR in the 1930s. But in 1961, the curricula in America changed. We started putting new definitions to old terms. We started changing what really did take place in history, and we accepted what was, and we've educated for 60 plus years now people with a wrong history. Please don't, and I'm not trying to correct anybody here, but you have to understand something. Not all of our forefathers were what they call atheists. You know that Ben Franklin had more of an understanding of God than most preachers do today? Read the documents written by those men that talk about our creator, not our evolutioner. The deity, the respect that they had for our God Almighty. Say, well, that's not what I heard. How about we go back and read their words, not what some historian wants you to understand about it. You see, what happened 20 years ago? Those who were trained under that revisionist history are now the ones that are in control of America. You're Bill Clinton's and his husband, Hillary. You're Chucky Schumer's and your Nancy Pelosi's and your then the generation after them and the AOC's and all the other wicked people we have. And by the way, I'm for them getting saved, but I am against what they stand for. You see, those who began to rebuild after 9/11 were those that were trained under the revisionist history as being true. They were the ones that rebelled against Vietnam War. They were the ones that were trained under that. They were the ones that our government brought men like Fidel Castro in to teach in our colleges, and they heard him teach. Mark my words, America is suffering what we did 60 years ago, and we're paying the price today. We have built new buildings, thankfully. We've repaired buildings, and I'm glad. May I say something? This new America doesn't hold a candle to old America. The new America has divided and shattered real America. It used to be that a man knew which bathroom to use, and so did a lady. You didn't have to wonder whether you were a man or a woman. Go out to the cow pasture, they can figure it out, trust me. The bulls and cows know each other one from the other. Well, if a cow's got enough sense to understand which one's the bull and which one's the cow, don't you think people ought to have enough sense too? Hunting season's coming up. The bucks know who the does are. You don't see two bucks chasing each other. Unless it's to fight one off to get to the doe. We don't need the LGBTQ alphabet soup crowd to confuse everybody. We don't need the critical race theory to divide America. Folks, I don't care whether your skin's white, black, brown, purple, pink, blue, or any other color. If it's blue, you got troubles. Can I tell you something? You're not defined by the color of your skin. You have no control over that. None. I've been preaching for 41 years. I've preached in 33 different states in our country. I was in Seattle, Washington, preaching when 911 happened. I had to drive back to Chicago area, not fly back because I couldn't get a flight for 3 days, end up driving back. Say, what'd you do? I kept on preaching. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? This new modern media communism, socialistic lies that are going on. Quit getting your news from Facebook. How about you put your face in the book and not worry about Facebook? How about we not listen to CNN? How about we get rid of the S-I-N and look to God for what we need? How about we just put the news media aside and look at it in light of the Word of God? America has redefined the events of history. We have changed the meanings of words. Well, a man is not really a man. And a woman's not really a woman. Sounds like a former president that I know that said, what is? Sound familiar? Well, the Civil War was started because of slavery. Folks, do you realize that less than 2% of the people in America own slaves? And the word slave in the 1800s did not mean what we have turned it into meaning. The word slave meant an indentured servant or a live-in servant that was paid. That's why most of them during the Reconstruction would not leave the plantations that they worked on because they loved where they were and what they did. We couldn't even give land and mules away for them to take it. You don't start a war over 2% of the people. It was the Civil War was started over states' rights versus federal rights. Have you ever read the orders of secession from the states? All of them are in there because those that seceded did not want a federal government. They wanted the state government to be its own government, and they wanted all the states to be individual and not have a federal government. They tied President Lincoln's hands when in South Carolina, in Charleston, where I lived for 4.5 years, they fired from the battery out to Fort Sumter. They fired on a federal fort. Had Mr. Lincoln not done what he did, he was in violation of his oath of office, not protecting the American lands. He had to do it or he would be removed from office. They forced him into it. It's just like D.C. wanting to become a state. It's unconstitutional. Well, all these people live here. We don't have representation. D.C. was supposed to be a shopping district and a place for the politicians to come and do their work. It was never intended to be a city for people to live there 24/7, 365. Go read your history, written before 1960. America used to be a place where we all worked and played and lived in harmony and accepted our differences while we got along with one another. We didn't care if a guy had one arm, two arms, 10 fingers, or 6 fingers. We didn't care. Good night. When I was growing up, you didn't care if kid was white, brown, black, had slanted eyes up, slanted eyes down, didn't matter. Can you throw a ball? Yeah, let's go. You got Tonka trucks, I got trucks, let's dig. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Remember that? Mm-hmm. We didn't care what we were different about. We just learned to get along and we worked alongside each other. We didn't have to agree with somebody 100%, but we got along in harmony. America used to be a place where you helped and trusted people. You didn't take your health into consideration before you helped somebody. You helped somebody who was in need. There was a day when they had something called hitchhikers. And people could go across country hitchhiking wherever they needed to go, and you weren't worried about somebody holding you up and stabbing you and everything else. America was a place where you could be different on ideals with someone, but it didn't make them your enemy. You learned how to disagree with somebody agreeably. America was a place where neighbors were friendly. They were helpful, and it was a way of life. It wasn't just the person that lived next door. You knew everybody that lived on the block. Both sides. Good night to this day. I could tell you who lived in what house on the street on Elwood and Manor Avenue and the street behind us. We knew everybody in the neighborhood. Good night. There were so many people that knew us in the neighborhood that if I did something wrong or my brother did something wrong, by the time I got home, my dad or mom was waiting to whoop us. Because the phone had already rung and everybody knew somebody did something in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. By the way, we didn't protest when we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't make signs and march up and down the street saying, no justice, no peace. You'd have had a piece and it would have been attached to your backside. Mm-hmm. America used to be a place where people worked, and they worked hard at their job, and they worked at home. And we didn't expect the government or other people to pay for it. Thomas Jefferson said, a country that is big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take everything you have. So we need to get back to the original intent of our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and our Bible. Amen. Number two, and I will hurry. America used to be a place God could bless. We say God bless America, but how about America be blessable by God? Amen. Contrary to the revisionist accounts, our forefathers sought God. They did not hate God. Do you know that Thomas Jefferson read his Bible every day? Do you know that for one solid year, Thomas Jefferson went to a Baptist church, watched it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and said, that is the purest form of government. That's where we got the tricameral system in our nation. Everybody doing okay? Well, he was an infidel. Well, that infidel had more Christianity than most Christians do today. Our forefathers were not God-rejecting infidels. How about you go back to the books of 1700s and 1800s and read what was written back then? Oh, most of you couldn't because you got publicly educated and couldn't read anything that deep. You think I'm kidding? We call ourselves educated. Well, we've got people with a lot of degrees, but they've got no temperature and they've got no truth. Education has to contain truth, not lies. It's propaganda if it's lies. I'm going to say something. Well, I'm going to say something else. Don't go to Google and Wikipedia. Go to real books written in the 1700s and 1800s. Think I'm just against government? Hang on. The biggest problem in America today is not in the White House or the House or the Senate, though those are pretty big problems. The biggest problem today is the church house. I said it. My Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Can I tell you what happened 20 years ago? People got scared. They went to church. They got religion, but they didn't get Christianity. They said, well, we'll appease God for a little while, and then maybe after a little while, he'll be nice to us, and we can go back to our evilness, and look where we are today. How about we get up and off our knees and spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't blame Mr. Biden in the White House. I blame sissy britches preachers who are afraid to give the truth. I don't blame our Congress. I blame so-called preachers and religion and church leaders who want to entertain and who want to perform to people instead of preaching the truth of the Word of God. Folks, I'm not here to gather a crowd. I've seen what manure can do in a field, and it'll gather a crowd too. I'm here to preach the truth to every person that will hear it. You see, so many people are worried about the numbers and the success or the failure. Who are you to judge God's success or failure rate? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. When's the last time you read that book right there? When's the last time you got on your face before God and said, oh God, help me to help somebody today. God, lead me to someone who I can give the truth to today, and you actually gave them the truth. America needs a dose of the gospel, not a vaccination. I said it. I said, preacher, are you preaching against the vaccine? Not yet. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do and what not to do. But I am going to tell you something. Why are they trying to mandate it? Why is it that your doctor can't give it to you? Why is it that our president, watch this, said companies of 100 employees or more are going to have to mandate it to the companies? Number one, it's unconstitutional. Thank God we got a governor with a little bit of backbone that stood up and said that's not going to happen in West Virginia. But number two, why did he say companies with 100 employees or more? Labor unions. They're the ones that donate all the money to the Democrat Party. And the pharmaceutical companies that are owned by men like Bill Gates and George Soros and other billionaires. Follow the money, you'll follow the evil. Everybody doing okay? Hey, preacher. You saying COVID is not true? I had it back in December. I still haven't smelled or tasted anything in 10 months. I'm not saying it's not a real thing, but I will tell you this, 0.02% is not a reason to mandate a vaccine to everybody in the country. 216 children died since the start of COVID, 12 years age and under, in almost 2 years. In the city of Chicago, in the first 8 months of this year, 278 children under the age of 13 were murdered. How about we go to Chicago and clean house? Let's not defund the police. Let's refund them and get them on the streets and clean up the mess. It's not the guns that are killing people. It's people killing people. I've owned guns my whole life. Not a one of them's ever killed a person. It only fires at that which I pointed at. You know, there's more people killed by clubs and knives than there are guns. When are they going to start outlawing knives and clubs? Yeah. Folks, medicine's not the answer. The gospel is the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Dr. Fauci is not the answer. Jesus is. Government handouts are not the answer. The outstretched arms and pierced hands of our Savior are the answer. How can man be right with each other if we're not right with God? me say that again. How can we be right with each other if we are not right with our God? How can man lead right in government and not submit to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Say, so you said that? Yep, I said it. God said there would come a day in the latter days where right would be wrong and wrong would be right. Guess what? Jesus is coming. Amen. Well, people kind of scoffed at that. Yeah, they scoffed at the fact that our Savior would be born in Bethlehem's manger. He came the first time and kept his promise. I happen to believe he'll keep his promise the second time. Yes, sir. Amen. America needs to get back to the principles of the only book God ever wrote, which is the Bible. Amen. I'll shut it down. I want to keep preaching, but I'm not. Just as millions of people went about life that early morning, September 11th, 2001, no one expected to die. No one expected an attack on our nation. No one expected the destruction of tens of thousands of jobs. 70,000 jobs lost in those towers and those buildings that were crumpled. No one expected to see 3,000 American lives taken into eternity. But may I say this? There's no guarantee of your tomorrow. As in the Bible, the young have visions of what could be. And us older people look back at America and weep. The hatred, the violence, the vulgarity, the sexuality, the indecentness, the filthiness of our new America makes me want to vomit. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to take your last breath? If you stood before the God of the universe, what would you tell him? I'm not talking about the Quran. My Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The only hope we have for America is to see more people get saved. More people getting the gospel out, living the truth, and spreading the truth. Quit complaining about the negativity of the news media. Who have you told the truth to? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. I believe there's hope for America. But the hope for America is not going to be in politics only. The hope for America is our Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope for America is that God's people would get off their blessed assurance, get on their face before God, and do something about it. And may I say this, the only hope for America is for us to take the truth to those who do not know what the truth is. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven? Can I tell you something? You don't get to heaven by being good. You don't get to heaven by being an American. Just like if you were born in a garage, doesn't make you a car. My Bible says that you must be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Hey, you could join every church in town and still die and go to hell. You can get baptized in every baptistry. You can get baptized in a creek and know every tadpole by name and die and go to hell. Baptism is something you do, not what Jesus did for you. Jesus came and he came to earth, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He lived our righteousness for us. And he paid our sin debt at Calvary with blood. He died as our sacrifice. He was buried. But can I tell you something? It didn't stop there. 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave, he arose. I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a living Savior. I don't serve a Savior whose tomb you can go visit and see his remains. My Jesus is in heaven. He died as our sacrifice, but he resurrected as our high priest. He went into heaven. He went to the Holy of Holies, to the throne of God. He put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven and said, Father, it's paid for in full. Say, how do you get it? Do I get it by being good? You're not good enough to get it. Neither am I. We're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, we committed the same penalty that Satan himself did before man was created. That's why in the book of Matthew, God said that hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You reject God and go there yourself. You say, well, how do I get this gift? Like you get any other gift, you just receive it. You trust what Jesus Christ did, not your own righteousness, to take you to heaven. Pardon me while some of us old people weep as we see what's happening in America today. 20 short years. And look where we're at. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please, no moving around. I promise you, it will just be moments and we'll be finished, but we've got to do some serious business here. Eternity's long. I wonder who would say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. If you say, I've never trusted Christ and that alone to take me to heaven, you've heard the gospel. You're a sinner. Because we're sinners, we deserve hell. Because there's sin in hell, Jesus came and paid that price for us. He paid it all in full. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There at your seat, you could just simply tell him, sincerely say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. But I trust what Jesus Christ did for me, and that alone to take me to heaven. Is there one that would say, preacher, I just did that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. If you don't understand, in a moment, the piano will begin to play. We'll stand to our feet when it does, and you can come to this altar. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you step by step what you can do. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you need to get off your blessed assurance and come kneel at an altar like God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. If you really mean business with God for your country today, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and pray? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it today. Baptism doesn't save you. It just lets everybody know that you've been saved.